we're not a single issue party, and the Green Party is a green global movement, and we represent in the Isle of Man Political Forum those same set of six principles which underpin the Green Party and which we put forward policies and put forward candidates to bring to effect in the Isle of Man those principles. And those six principles are sustainability, a sustainable future for the Isle of Man, a social justice, living in a socially just society, participatory democracy. So democracy not just being about a vote every 5 years, but really the whole community being a part of democracy.
So how do you do that without the mechanism of elections? How do you make sure they participate throughout the term?
Well, there were a whole suite of methods, mediums to do that, and the Isle of Man Green Party has been active in all that. Local politics as well. We're not just focusing on the House of Keys as the sole part of our institutions of democracy. Local politics, and the Isle of Man Green Party has a number of local politicians, plays a fundamental role of that as well. One step closer to the individuals in our society, the citizens. And so that's one aspect. The Isle of Man Green Party holds meetings all around the Isle of Man. It's really fundamental part of what we want to do, holding meetings all around the Isle of Man, giving people in those communities a voice, an opportunity to speak and converse and deliberate upon those very, very important issues that face our society.
But of course, should you be elected, the Isle of Man Green Party won't be elected. One Isle of Man Green Party member will be elected to the House of Keys should you be successful. So how are you going to be able to translate some of the things the Green Party wants to do amongst 23, including yourself, members of the House of Keys, should you get in?
Yeah, and I should say, I'll answer this question, but I'll go back to the rest of the principles of the Green Party so we don't miss those out, because they're all equally important as well. So the point now about the Isle of Man Green Party, it gets one member of the House of Keys elected. Like, you might look at the House of Commons in England, where there's one MP of the Green Party that's been there for some time now. Caroline Lucas are doing a great job. But so the Isle of Man Green Party, well, you might be seen as like a very minor role. But actually, the focus of the Green Party is to bring to effect these principles of the Green Party. And so that might mean that we have just politicians at local level, or we have no politicians. But if we can raise important policies for the benefit of the Isle of Man and they get adopted, then the Green Party has been successful in that end. But obviously, having MHKs in there and eventually, hopefully, having members of the government, if that was an end that came about, that would be a great opportunity for the Green Party to really grab hold of the situation and allow its policies and its principles to be delivered in the Isle of Man Political Forum and the community of the Isle of Man.
Well, we will touch on those principles later on, but I want to ask you about you individually. You're the Green Party leader, but what are you hoping to bring as an MHK for the people of Russia as an individual?
So there are a number of different facets to that question, and I'll try and approach them all. One aspect is me as an individual. I'm an Isle of Man advocate. I've got experience in politics, as I've been the leader of the Isle of Man Green Party since 2016. Being in the press, deliberating over these important issues, acting in a community of the Green Party, speaking to people outside of the Green Party, understanding stakeholders' views on all these many issues that the Green Party put forward proposals in respect of. So there's me as an individual and the value that I can bring to the community of Russian and to the political chamber of the House of Commons. The House of Keys, excuse me. There's me as an individual.
Well, do you think your background as an advocate gives you any special insight?
Well, I can only be an advantage, I would say, because what's the key role of the MHK? It's a legislator. It's to deliberate on legislation and to propose changes or amendments to legislation and to ultimately vote on legislation. That is the principal law in our society, the foundational law. The parliament is the sovereign body in our democracy, and so the law is the key. Can I bring skills that I've developed as an advocate, going to law school, learning from the esteemed colleagues that I have done in my time, and to bring something of strength to that role as a legislator? The second role is holding government to account as an MHK, and that's the second role of the MHK, and as a courtroom advocate who has to engage with problems, analyse them, and put forward as an orator address errors, address problems, put forward solutions, those are again a unique set of skills.
But do you think you're relatable though? Do you talk often about the process and the importance of law, legislation? Do you think you're relatable on the doorstep, on those sort of more common issues?
I think the matters that I'm putting forward, I've got an introductory letter that's going out to that's been going out to the residents in Russian, that sets forward issues that I think are important, and on the doorstep people seem to be according with those issues, which are about transport, especially about public transport, about energy, about the future of energy. How can we have an energy system that's sustainable but is also good value for people, also reduces costs in order for them to live satisfying lives in a cheaper way. And lastly, about jobs, about the future of employment, specifically the role of artificial intelligence and how that's going to impact our job market. So those on the doorstep, those are things that people are engaging with.
Well, you've listed climate change as one of your top priorities in your response to Manx Radio. Now, how do climate issues relate to the people of Russian, and what would your priorities be to address those?
So, climate change, you might say, is a convenient term to encapsulate the actual substantive changes that as a society we're going to have to engage with, or we are already engaging with. And that's about how we build houses, where we build houses, how we develop our ecosystem, rewilding, for example. Next, it's transport. It's like, how do we move around the Isle of Man? How do we move on and off the Isle of Man? Next, as I said already, is energy. It's how do we heat our homes? How do we power our technology?
Okay, let me turn that round. How do we manage? We'll start with affordable housing. How, through the climate change, how do we manage that in Russian? What's your policies there?
Well, I think the housing is a very simple one. From today, why are we building houses that we're going to have to retrofit in 5 years? It's just not acceptable.
So you think improving standards?
Improving, absolutely, changing, dramatically resolving for the benefit of the future of the Isle of Man. I mean, if you as an individual, as a citizen of the Isle of Man, can go and buy a house and it's already fit for purpose for the future, it has low carbon heating, it has maybe in the right place solar panels on the roof, you have the opportunity to buy it with already a charging point installed, and you can go and get a mortgage, and the mortgage already covers those costs, so you're not going to have to pay out directly. I mean, we've done some analysis around the monthly cost that retrofitting the properties for the benefit, so the developers or the house builders already have invested in this, and then you get the mortgage. The mortgage cost is so minimal, insignificant compared to you as an individual buying a house 5 years later, being told you're going to have to tear out your gas heating, you're going to have to put in a heat pump, you're going to have to install all this insulation. That's a cost on the individual, and that's not acceptable.
So who bears responsibility for ensuring that's in place? Is that for government to intervene in the market to ensure standards are in place, to ensure that the standards are to the level that you're talking about here, or is that for developers to be encouraged to do that?
Well, this is somewhat of a philosophical question, Ewan, and a good one, but one where we have really look back at the institutions we have in our society. Are they fit for purpose in terms of understanding the needs of our society and the future needs of society and the wants of society? And are they able to take those on board and that feedback and deliver laws, regulations, executive policies, government policies? Obviously, the government put to effect the laws. The laws are primary. And do we have those institutions that are in place that can deliver that?
Well, do we?
No, because we're failing at the moment. We're quite patently, the houses that are going up today are not fit for purpose. They're going to have to be retrofitted in the next 5 years, maybe even sooner, because of the changing world we're facing.
Okay, so you get into the House of Keys. What actions do you take in the first 12 months to address the issue you're talking about there? What do you think? How can you deliver change there?
How can we... Again... We go back to the philosophy of the theory of our institutions, and what we need to instill into those institutions is principles of transparency, principles of accountability. And there isn't one way to do that. You've got Lord Liz Vane in 2015 with his report going, there needs to be more accountability from the parliament to the executive. That's one aspect that could deliver a lot more change in all these areas we're looking at.
So do you think to deal with the issues that affect people on the ground, affordable housing, you're talking, you think we need to change the structure of Manx democracy to fit with these principles? Is that what you're saying?
I think any problem that our society is facing in healthcare, in house building, in energy, needs the institutions to be transparent and accountable and fit for purpose in order to deliver the ends that we want to deliver for our community, a sustainable future.
So with that in mind, would you focus on that first, aside from these other issues? Would you focus on getting the system, in your view, correct or appropriate first before you went on to deal with those other issues?
They're not mutually exclusive, I think. Because
voters listening to this, they might not be au fait with Liz Vane, they might not be au fait with the structure of... So they, when they hear you talking about the process and transparency and principles, they might not hear that translating as, so what are we doing about this estate that's going up? What are we doing to pay for Manx care? What are we doing to address public transport issues?
And you have raised such an important issue by that statement, by that proposition. And that is, in a democracy, we shouldn't be alienating the citizens in our society away from the government structures that govern our society. The principle of the Isle of Man Green Party is participating. Democracy. It's building up from the ground, up from the individuals in our society, a strength in our institutions. And that means they need to be relatable. They need to be understandable. If there's a failing in our system where the citizens in our community are unable to relate and there is an alienation between the society and between the governance structures, that's a fundamental issue that we look at. And there's many propositions that were being put forward to by others, more esteemed than myself, about how we provide education in our system, how we create a system that's more participatory, more inclusive. So again, I'm concerned that we are delving into a philosophical issue, but I do identify the things that you're talking about are underpinned by a philosophy in our society that is maybe failing.
Well, I want to draw you now back to Russian. What's the big, without trying to avoid going into philosophical debate, what is the number one priority for the people of Russian? What are you hearing on the doorstep? What are they telling to you, and what can you do for them on a local level?
So I think some of the issues I've spoken to people on is about energy, a recognition that we already know what the solution is to our energy problems of the future. Low carbon energy, renewable energy. We already know that we don't need to look far around the Isle of Man to see windy places, to see the sea, to see waves.
Would you support wind farms in Russian, even if residents didn't want them because of their visual amenity being spoiled?
I mean, that's a legal question about the planning process in the Isle of Man.
But the principle there of bearing with something that might be changing somebody's view, but in the long run, in your view, would be the correct energy solution for the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
How would you manage that balance?
The laws are black and white, but they're interpreted around the circumstances that we face. For example, in the strategic plan, you have environmental policies, and we've seen them maybe interpreted one way recently by the planning committee on the issue of Elms. But so the circumstances that we face interpret the laws that and we have the courts doing that and the planning committee doing that. And so, for example, in the point about energy is that we know we need to transition for energy. So there's weight put upon that. We know that people will accept in Paul Rose a large tower where pumping out pollution out of it to fuel our society. People will give over some amenity, some visual amenity to that. People will give over some visual amenity to a large tower supposedly shaped like a Viking ship on the Richmond Hill, again, pumping out pollution in burning waste in our society. People have already shown examples of giving over amenity and visual amenity to those things. Now, we're talking about wind turbines, which will provide energy for our community and fuel the future of our society without or undermining the impact of climate change or curtailing it or limiting it.
So to clarify, you would campaign amongst the electorate, should you be successful becoming an HK, to get them to support the potential, I mean, we're talking hypothetical here, the potential of something like that.
Yeah, I should say, for the avoidance of any doubt, the Green Party policy, and you can see it on our website, greenparty.im, is that we want the energy of 100% energy to be a renewable energy by 2035.
But even if the overwhelming feedback for this hypothetical installation was that people didn't want it.
Well, I mean, again, that's a planning question. It's like, where is it? Is it somewhere in Russian where it fulfills the planning position at the moment? I mean, if you're putting it in the high street in Port Erin, I mean, it just wouldn't pass. I haven't got the planning laws in front of me, but I struggle to see how that maybe would pass. But if it's an area in Russian where the balance in exercise that goes on with all the principles in the planning legislation, the strategic plan, etc., it's weighed against the utility for the future of our society as a whole. And I'm not trying to hide that the Green Party is supportive of wind turbines, it's supportive of solar panels, and it's supportive of giving back to our community the strength in using the assets that we have to deliver the future that we want to live in. And we can't wait another 5 years on these things. This is why this election in 2021 is so important.
Well, we're drawing as close to the end part of our interview. I want to ask you about public transport. That was another priority when we asked you to list three: climate change, affordable housing, and public transport. We've touched on the other two. Public transport, what would be your number one priority in terms of changing the policies for public transport in the Isle of Man?
First of all, thank you for raising this, because I've got a lot to say on it. So what we need to look at is how do we move around the Isle of Man at the moment? And we have, I think I've seen a figure recently, I think it was in the 2019 the numbers document. And to date, I'd been telling people the figures are around 60,000 internal combustion engines in the Isle of Man for a population of 83,000, many of whom can't drive because they're under 16 or for other reasons. But now, the recent figures, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'll need to check this post-interview, but they were more towards 70,000 cars. I mean, that just doesn't, that's a paradigm that doesn't fit for the future.
So reducing cars?
Well,
reducing cars.
What we're going to have to look at is strengthen our public transport system. And that's going to be, and that's really investing in it, because the future.
So how? Light rail, buses, what?
Absolutely. Well, we were campaigning towards free buses. You should be able to walk on and off a bus, and it should be circulating around the Isle of Man.
How would you pay for that?
How do we pay for it? I mean,
how do you pay for lots of these things?
We need to escape this idea that it's somehow a commercial transaction when you're going on the bus. This is a public institution providing a public good, a utility.
But it costs something, and that cost has to be made up somewhere, surely.
Yeah, and we pay a vast amount of taxes, and we have a budget of £1 billion, and we have vast resources. But I'm again going.
So do you think we're not using those vast resources in the way that we should be?
We have underemployment of many of our assets in our community. We need to employ those assets better. But going back to this important point about, first of all, point number one, we can't transition. It's not a sustainable transition to think that we can move just from 60,000 internal combustion engines to 6,000 electric vehicles. Public transport has to play a fundamental role in our future. And the transport system we've already got, he's going to underpin that, but it needs to be integrated. And we've been talking about an integrated transport system since the first strategic plan. And that has never been delivered in like 15, 16 years or whatever. Now we need to really deliver that. We need to make it appropriate so it's incentivized, so people can just walk on and off it. And we've got loads of evidential support for that. Dunkirk, they made the public transport system free and they got massive uptake. That's better, because any decision we make today has to factor in the carbon cost. It has to factor in the environmental destruction by perpetuating what we're doing at the moment.
We're coming very close to the end of our interview, so I'm going to have to just pitch a final question at you, Mr. Langer-Newton. Now, finally, why should the people of Russian, why should they back you in this upcoming election?
We can't wait 5 more years. 2021 is a fundamental year shaping the next 9 years. If we're talking about 2030 now as the focus point about when our society should be, we would say, transformed for the better of our whole community, we have to start today. We can't start in 5 years' time and think, oh, we've got 4 years left. Let's get to there, or 3 years left. We need to start today. And that's by electing the right politicians on the right values, on the right principles, and with the right vision for the future of our society and that best interest at heart. And I would say the principles of the Isle of Man Green Party assert that end. And I didn't finish. I didn't finish the three principles. So I'll just very quickly summarise. We've got some sustainability, participatory democracy, non-violence, ecological wisdom, social justice and respect for diversity.